Okay, 7 o'clock, we're going to get started, all right? If you all rise and, for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. For the record, this is Candia Zoning Board of Adjustment, March 23rd. For tonight's agenda, we're going to switch up the case order which we had originally due to extenuating circumstances. We're going to start off with case 21-002, Komisarek. Would you be so kind to read that out for us, Lisa?
Applicant Amy Komisarek, 14 Main Street, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. Owner, 14 Main Street LLC, 14 Main Street, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. Property location, 14 Main Street, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. Map 409, Lot 202. For a variance under Article 2, Section 2.02b, non-conforming uses and structures, change and expansion. Intent, to change the use of our non-conforming lot, which is in residential use only, to residential and business operations in the mixed-use district.
And the abutters have been notified?
Yes.
And the applicant is here, or?
Yes.
Representation?
Yes, both.
And for the record, would you state your name, please, John?
My name is John Cronin. I'm an attorney with Cronin, Bisson, and Zielinski in Manchester, New Hampshire, and I'm representing the applicant, Amy Komisarek, this evening.
Thank you. You want to go ahead and
sure.
The case?
Sure. It's a rare opportunity that I get to go first, so for whatever the reason of switching the order, I thank you all. This particular case, this variance case, I had the pleasure of going out to the property recently and drove by it again, and I think all that sees it, and you can tell a lot with your eyes that you got a beautiful improvement at that location at 14 Main Street. Taking a look at the history of it, I know there was some jumbled history and some confusion during the process as to what may or may not be required with respect to the various approvals, some communication, whether miscommunication or angled communication as to whether a variance would be required or whether it was not required. And that's not all that unusual in these lots where you have some nonconformities. If you look at that particular area, and I probably am wrong in referring it to the village as I always have, that certainly it was developed originally well before modern zoning and before we have 2-acre minimums and some of the other criteria. So if you look at the essential character of the neighborhood, most of the lots in that area are not compliant with existing ordinances. That was true for this particular building, which was primarily residential before. The goal was to go forward and convert it to create some office space out back. You have the apartment up above, so you're maintaining some character of the residential, and it would essentially fit in, I believe, the allowed uses of your new mixed use development. So that triggers the question under 202 of your ordinance, which talks about changes to a non-conforming structure as opposed to a non-conforming lot. I think this non-conforming lot is the driving factor here, but the existing house that was on it was non-conforming to the new ordinance with respect to a small portion, I believe, of the front setback. The back setback and the back criteria, things such as lot coverage and all the other setbacks seem to be in compliance. So the project as it went forward got developed out and built out, and somewhere along the line the siren went off and said, wait a second, I think you need to get a variance to comply with 202. If I was involved in the beginning of it from the start, I might say that I respectfully disagree, because 202 was a standard statement, I think, of the applicable common law as it relates to non-conforming lots. And certainly when you change a use by variance to another use that's not allowed as a matter of right, you would need a second variance. It would negate it. However, when you change a use from one either by variance or one by right to another use that is allowed by the ordinance, which is the case here, I would argue maybe that you don't need the variance for the use part. It's moot because I'm here tonight, and we might as well, you know, present all of it and make a clear record. But that's kind of the logic, so I can set the framework for it. What I think a variance is clearly needed for, when you look at the front as it relates to the street, the old porch as it came out was within a certain distance of the front setback. That new building on the corners is like 8 by 6s where the building was squared off. to make it square. That would be something that falls within the setback. Now, is it an expansion? It doesn't go any further than the old building, but it does cover additional square footage. So assuming without argument that it's required, we've laid out the five criteria. And I take a look at that building and I say, okay, you got a somewhat unique corner here where you come to the point or the triangle. The building, as you approach it, it looks like the proximity of it is facing the point of the triangle for front and setback character. But it's pretty clear to me that the town and the building code enforcement person, with good reason, says, okay, this front setback's going to come off of Main Street, regardless of how the building is positioned. So you look at the criteria of the variance and the public interest in the spirit of the ordinance prongs, which the case I refer to most often in that analysis is Farrar versus Keene. And that's kind of a short circuit to say, how do you prove those two features or prongs if you're an applicant? And what they said in Farrar was you can prove them together because they're essentially the same. And the question is, if the variance is granted, will it alter the essential character of the neighborhood? And, you know, that's a global analysis of what's going on there. I know this applicant, most of the abutting property is owned by them. It's not going to alter them negatively. And it certainly is consistent with the character next to the produce shop or whatever you want to call that, the market. It's kind of a cool-looking building. Its character is appropriate for the area. And I don't think under any stretch of the imagination there would be a situation where it substantially altered the essential character of the neighborhood. I left that word out from the Farrar court, which is pretty important, substantial. And I think we meet those two tests. The balancing test is a subjective one. You know, it's what's the harm to the applicant if this is denied? Well, at this juncture, with some of the administrative work and confusion that went into it to make someone gut those two sides out, one will make the building look odd. Number two, it takes away some of the functionality. Those two corners are not occupied space. I went inside to see what was going on there. It basically make a safe corner for people to move throughout the first floor. So in that sense, you know, to make those come down and make them comply is very difficult to do now. What would the benefit to the public be if you denied the variance, if you said, hey, we don't think this is right because it's harmed the public? You know, really don't see it there, because I think everyone in the public would say, hey, it looks good to me. It's not doing anything that intrudes or violates those key principles on which we have zoning, and particularly frontage, right? It's safety from fire, access, curb appeal, and overcrowding. And you have none of that here. That lot sits fine in its space and looks pretty good, and it's got a, you know, no enhanced danger from risk of fire from those two little corners. So I believe we meet that. With respect to the value prong, certainly the improvement to it is an addition to the neighborhood in terms of value in the tax base. The two offending corners, if you will, I don't see that they have anything to do with diminishing the value of the surrounding property. Certainly the Komisarek's are on record as supporting this for all of their abutting properties, but I suggested that they meet with the abutters, who were the most critical people in the analysis as far as the valuation prong. And I have some letters that were sent. This one is from Nikki and Charlie Pontitis. They are the proprietors of the pizza shop. They write, "Dear Mr. Chairman, we, Nikki Pontitis," and I'm going to call him Charlie because that's how I refer to him, "being the owners of the property at 3 Main Street, hereby state that we are in favor of the improvements and use of that property at 14 Main Street. There's also a letter here from the CYAA that's signed by their board of directors. "Dear ZBA, while not an immediate abutter to the 14 Main Street, Candy and New Hampshire property, we're aware of their desire to change the use of a non-conforming lot, which has been residential use only, to residential and business operations in the mixed-use district. We've seen this property transform over the last year and have been very impressed with the new design and aesthetic appeal. Although a non-conforming lot, we see no concern issuing a variance in this case, as the property is located in the mixed-use district. Based on the characteristics of most, if not all, properties in the area, the new property will align appropriately. Thank you." So also another one here. This is from Colleen Bolton, members of the board, zoning board. "My husband, Greg Bolton, and I reside at 186 Deerfield Road in Candia and own the apartment building at 4 Main Street. We abut Scott and Amy Komisarek's 14 Main Street property. This email is to make the zoning board aware we are not in opposition to case 21-002, the Komisarek's proposal to change the use of their non-conforming lot to residential and business operations in a mixed district. Scott and Amy have a track record of making improvements to their other properties in that immediate area. We are confident any changes they initiate will add to the aesthetics of the appearance to the candy at Four Corners. Colleen and Greg Bolton. Taking those letters together with the Komisarek support of the abutting property, we believe that we meet the value prong. The hardship prong, you know, prior to Simplex and Gray Rocks, you'd say, some of you know I worked at Colley Kelly McDowell, and Bill Kelly was kind of a leading real estate lawyer at the time, and he told me whenever he gave me a variance case, don't do any legal research because you'll never meet the hardship standard. And back then it was true, right? If you could graze cows or mow the lawn, you had a reasonable use for the property. That historic analysis of hardship changed in Gray Rocks when Justice Wharton, who was one of the few guys out of Nashua, many of you may know him, he a very accomplished land use lawyer, and he bypassed the trial court and went right up to the Supreme Court at the sunset of his career. If you haven't had the chance to read his dissent in Gray Rocks, it's probably, I think, the leading land use case that I've read. And he kind of flipped that whole hardship on its head. And he said the old use, or the old standard that New Hampshire used, was outdated and would get towns into constitutional trouble. And he looked at all the other laws throughout the country and said the reasonable use standard is the best standard to apply because it protects property rights and also protects municipalities' goals of protecting the health, safety, and welfare of the community. And that's what resulted in a subsequent case in the decision in Simplex, which that's clearly a reasonableness test when you look at it and you get the special features of the property here. There's nothing you can do about it being under 2 acres. And there's nothing you could do about the prior non-conforming house being where it was. So you meet that test. And then the big question, is this a reasonable use for this property on this lot? I think everything considered that we meet the 5 criteria. I'd ask you to look favorably on the request. If there's any gaps in our presentation or any information that you'd like to know that we haven't provided, I'm happy to answer the questions to the best of my ability.
All right. Thank you for presenting the case. Any questions or comments from the board?
Yeah, I'm confused why this is coming to us now when this project is completed. Why wasn't this issue an issue before construction even started?
Before you answer that, I might defer that to Kevin. Can you fill in the blanks on that one?
Yes, I was hired in August of 2020 and took over from the previous building inspector, Dave Murray, who had issued a building permit for only a residential renovation. That was the only thing that was on that permit.
Okay.
I went out to do an inspection for a final and observed there was office space. And at that point, I raised a red flag and came back and consulted with my office and staff, and we came up with that it wasn't in compliance with the zoning 202. That it had to, he had to get permission to have, which is zoned for that, but he just needed the permission. I need to cross the T's, dot the I to be able to give him a proper certificate of occupancy.
Right.
I need to have all of these documents in order. So this is basically, it would have been easier if the applicant was more forthcoming, but it's regardless. I just want to take care of it
In a nutshell, that's the reason, because it was caught now.
Yeah.
And so now it's got to be rectified. As Mr. Cron said, it's like it's a clerical order that we've just got to.
Even if you assume that somebody said, I'm going to beat the town, this is sinister, which I don't think anyone in their right mind would go to that expense to do it. It doesn't really have an impact on the request for a variance, because we do a lot of after-the-fact variances, not in this town, thankfully, but in other towns where people have an intention to do things and get away with it, and they get caught and you do it.
Yeah.
And the argument to the boards, who oftentimes are pretty ticked off, say, try and get your emotion and put it on the sidelines here, because it shouldn't impact your analysis of the variance, whether it's before or after. It may give this gentleman here some power to say, look, I want to assess a fine, or revoke an occupancy permit or do a building permit. So there's other remedies outside of it when you have that sinister behavior, but it shouldn't affect the analysis of the variance, whether it's before or after. And I agree 100% with you. When I get things after the fact, it's always much more difficult than if you do it in the beginning.
But you're saying that the applicant didn't know that there was going to be that they were going to use it for dual purposes?
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm saying if he came to me beforehand, I would tell him he doesn't need a variance because he's converting to an allowed use. I respect this gentleman's opinion in saying 202, the way it's written, would say if you switch from a use by variance to any use under the zoning ordinance, he's correct that you should come in and get a variance. I think your zoning ordinance, section 202, conflicts with state law and the common law, but there's no need to go down that path, I don't think, in this case.
Any comments from the public, sitting public? Questions, comments? Lisa's got something to say? Who's up, Lisa?
Tony.
Tony Simons?
Yeah. Yeah, what exactly is the office going to be used for? What kind of business?
It's used for office administration title work. So if you want to get a title search done in your home, it's not generally to the public. It would be to providers. Say, for instance, my law firm, if we were really busy and we needed some help and our regular staff was overtaxed, they could call up and say, would you run a title on Mr. Steinmetz's property, he's looking to sell or refinance or buy or whatever.
So traffic in and out of the property wouldn't be an issue, right?
Yeah, it's not a retail type location. I believe that the building inspector, and he'll correct me if I'm wrong, has gone out and said the capacity is fine and the parking is appropriate for that use.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else? If there's no other questions or comments, we'll close it to the public. Oh, something else?
A comment. Our noticing is only for the variance to change use, not for the expansion. It hasn't been public noticed, so.
I thought the expansion was taken care of on either the last meeting or the meeting before that.
It's the same
in his presentation.
202B.
It's not noticed. You can't.
Well.
You can't rule.
Lisa, did we not take care of that?
No, it was supposed to come before our board last August, and
right.
The applicant withdrew it.
Right.
And it's there are two different issues here. One is the use,
mm-hmm.
and one is the
expansion.
And one is the expansion in the.
And I thought we took care of the expansion.
No.
Okay.
No, because they withdrew their application. It was supposed to come last August, I think, and they withdrew it.
It has to be in public notice.
All right. Well, we're not going to talk about that one, clearly.
Right.
So we're just going to go ahead with the special exception for the non-conforming lot.
No, variance. It's still a variance.
Two things.
I beg your pardon.
It's a special exception and
a
variance.
No, that's for Amelia. So under case 2102.
Yep, the variance.
Yep.
Yep.
And this is only for the change of use from residential to residential and business. It has nothing to do with the expansion.
Okay. All right, then.
Given the fact that the only abutter is Mr. Commissaric himself, we received numerous letters there in support of this, is this a fatal blow to this?
Yes. They have to come before the board with a formal application for it, because it has to be legally noticed.
I would just respond and say, in terms of the application, I believe both of those pieces are addressed. And in New Hampshire,
no, they're not.
In the application?
Right.
In the narrative piece? Okay. But if people appear, either by in writing or in person, they're a butter, they deem to waive any defects in notice. Now, I'm not sure if these letters and the commissarics make up all the abutters. There may be a gap in that parcel. But if it's a concern, we will certainly want to make the notice right. We could, I guess, refile to come back for the other piece if it's essential, but it seems to be a waste of everybody's time and money.
It can be appealed.
Well, that's a bigger waste of time and money.
But the probability exists, correct? I mean, we can move forward with this one tonight.
Is that the only risk in this thing, if somebody could appeal this within a 60-day period?
30-day period, right?
Well,
yeah.
I think the point is that it clouds the title. The fact that it's an intrusion into the setback, And I don't know if you remember, but way back, we had that case on North Road, right near 43, where the house was built, and Stubby didn't catch that the porch was into the setback. And the people lived in the house, and for several years, and decided to sell it, and some sharp-eyed guy from the bank picked up the fact that it was a couple feet into the front setback, and they wouldn't release the loan from the bank until they got a variance. And the people came in here all upset. You know, we've got a buyer for the property, and it may seem like a stupid thing, but it's something that could harm Mr. Komisarek in the future if he ever wanted to sell it. I mean, it's going to put him, if somebody says you need to get a variance, he's going to have to go through that in order to sell his property. And maybe it would never happen, but I think...
Zoning and variances aren't a matter of title, but you're correct, right? A banker, depending on what bank you use, may be very particular in where they're lending money and want security. They might want a zoning compliance letter. That's not unusual in a big financing, and you might not get it. So I think to make matters easy, if we vote on what's clearly before you, I don't know if Mr. Chairman would consider doing this, but maybe poll the members based on the presentation to see what their thoughts are on it. So when we come back the next time, we really don't have to start from scratch.
It was determined this summer by the building inspector that the variance wasn't needed. That's why they withdrew their application. That is a...
That's what I suggested to you, that the matter was resolved.
Done.
But I think...
It has nothing to do with this.
Under 674.33, okay. the accrual waiver of dimensional requirements, if our office makes a mistake, we have to grant the variance.
Right.
And it's basically a procedural thing. It's not... But it helps Mr. Komisarek, and it clears his title. And we are obligated because we made the mistake. He spent a significant amount of money before that mistake was discovered. So you can't go back and say to him, you got to tear the state, so you can't tear that stuff off because you made the mistake. You got to let him give him a variance to do what he wants.
And that was... Yep.
And I mean, that's my interpretation, and maybe it's wrong, but I think we're required to give him that variance, but all he's got to do is ask for it, and he was set to come up with that last summer, and it would have been a simple thing. It just would have, the whole board would have said, look, you know, we made the error, we'll grant you the variance, and he pulled his application.
But in fairness, if the town said you didn't need to get a variance, why wouldn't you pull it, right? You wouldn't go through it. But
no,
I don't
we didn't say, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I hear you.
I'm not looking
he
to pick a fight
here. He said he wasn't
going to
pursue it.
We'll do whatever you want us to do. How's that?
I think his comment was he wasn't going
to
pursue it.
Why don't we ask Mr. Komisarek, because you own the risk living with that kind of a potential cloud on the title, and if he is willing to take that chance, we'll approve the 202B, the single component of that variance, and call it good.
You ready to take that risk?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
So then we're going to address what's on the agenda tonight and call it quits. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay.
And it's up to him if he feels that that doesn't constitute a cloud on the title, it's his amendment.
He'll have to fix it at a later date.
He'll have to fix it later.
I mean, our job is not to look out for him 20 years from now.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Good suggestion.
All right. Close to the public, and would you be so kind of bring us through the criteria?
Sure.
And we'll vote on each one individually.
Can you take this off?
Yes, you may.
Yeah, variance. This is section 1402C. The Board of Adjustment shall hear and decide a request for variances. From the terms of this ordinance, no variance may be granted unless all the following criteria are met. Number one, the variance will not be contrary to the public interest.
Agreed. It is not contrary.
Agreed. I agree.
Number two. The spirit of the ordinance is observed. I agree.
I agree that it is.
I agree.
Agreed.
Yeah. Number three.
You have to do roll call on each one of these because it's a hybrid meeting.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
What's that?
We've got to do a roll call. It's no longer just agreed.
Okay.
Going back to the first one, the variance, I'll be contrary to public interest. Petra and I.
Zod I.
Owl I. Ramakaitis I.
The spirit of the ordinance is observed. Petron, aye.
Shivers, aye.
Howe, aye.
Substantial.
Ramakaitis, aye.
Zod, aye.
Substantial justice is done. Shivers, aye.
Petron, aye.
Howe, aye. Ramakaitis, aye.
Zod, aye.
Number four, the values of surrounding properties are not diminished. Agreed. Shivers, aye.
Petron, aye.
Howe, aye. Ramakaitis, aye.
Zod, aye.
Five, literal enforcement of provisions of this ordinance would result in unnecessary hardship. Chivers agrees.
Petra, aye.
Owe, aye. Ramakaitis, aye.
Zod, aye.
All right, is there a motion?
I move we grant the variance for relief on their section 202B for the changing use of the property of 409, what is it?
14 Main.
409-202, 14 Main Street.
Seconded by?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye?
Driver.
Aye. Ramakaitis, aye.
I'm sorry?
You want to call roll again?
Roll again, Petron, aye.
How aye?
Ramakaitis, aye.
Zod, aye.
All right.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Appreciate your input. Good to see you.
Persuasive as ever, you know that?
Rotate a cup?
Yeah.
6 months?
Don't say that. 6 weeks.
That's pretty good, if you could do that. Good luck.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, yes.
Thank you, Pia.
You're welcome.
When you're ready, Lisa, to announce the next case.
Case number 21-001, applicant Amelia Healy, 82 Pritchett Road, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. Owner same, property location same. Map 406, lot 129. For a special exception under Article 5, Section 5.02A2, Table of Use Regulations, type of land use, residential, and a variance under Article 15, Section 15.04E, specific special exception uses, accessory dwelling unit. Intent, to allow the construction of an accessory dwelling unit with an increased square footage area above the maximum 750 square feet.
Very good, thank you. And the abutters have been notified?
Yes.
If there's anybody here that wishes to speak on this matter, you will have an opportunity later on. In the meantime, the applicants are here.
Yeah.
Would you identify yourself, come up and join us if you would, and present your case. The Healy's.
I'm Toby Sperry, my daughter is Amelia Healy.
Thank you for the introduction, all right, for the record. Tell me what you've got in mind, please.
Well, what we would like to do is build an attached in-law, if that's the right words. My dad could really present it better than I could. He kind of designed it, but
okay.
For them to live in with us.
Well, very rudimentary design at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
Our big holdup right now is trying to get over the 750 square feet. I had attached a letter which pretty much explained
mm-hmm.
what we'd like to do. We've discussed it with our family. Actually right now we're homeless, but we sold our house in Jaffrey, New Hampshire, with the idea of adding on to my daughter's house with a connection, a 6 foot connection that would also be.
That's this right here.
That would be that.
This is not existing right now.
Which one do you? Yes, this would be, that's not there right now.
Okay.
This would be, this is the existing garage.
Okay. So right now they're not attached.
That would be added
this
on.
That
would be
attachment.
A dual use. It would be a foyer that both the last page boy, both households would use
as an entry.
Okay.
And we'd probably build in benches to.
And what do we have on the second floor? Is there a second floor there?
Yes.
A knee wall.
And that's kind of the second floor will probably, just to keep the height down, would probably have a 4 foot knee wall. We'd like to use the existing, well, we're not going to use the existing foundation per se, but we're going to use that existing space. And we'd like to add the second floor onto that. Right now, the main house it's a fairly small house, and it has a very small living room. And part of what, this is all family. It's not there's no rental property or anything like that.
It's for my parents to retire, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're
affordably
with
us.
We're getting there, anyway. And we'd like to be able to have a larger living room to be able to accommodate family get-togethers, and which is a little hard to do now in the existing home. Let's see, what else did I have here?
If you think that does it, we'll commence with question and answers if you want.
Sure.
That larger living room you're talking about, is that part of the...
That would be on the ground floor
of the
new building.
The new building.
Which is currently the garage.
Yeah. I mean, it would be my wife and I's area of the house, but it would also be a used by everyone.
Right. I mean, an alternative to that is have a 750-square-foot accessory dwelling and put in attach a living room to your existing house. There wouldn't be anything wrong with that if you expanded. I'm not suggesting you do that, but I mean, that's conceivable. That's your intention, to have a living room. But the other thing is, you say it's 1,120 square feet. That's 2 times 560. Are you going to get 560 square feet upstairs with those knee walls?
No.
So it's not quite...
No, and that's what I said.
So what's the actual heated space, not including what's under those knee walls?
The actual heated space will be roughly... it'll be 560 square feet per floor, but the upstairs will be, as far as usable space, will go down to about 340 square feet.
You said 340 upstairs?
Yes.
Well, that's only 890 square feet.
Yes.
Well, that makes this thing look a lot more appealing.
That's
what you're looking for, is 890 square feet of heated floor space. Right.
I didn't know how to present it.
Well,
I wasn't sure whether, you know, I was going to have to
if that's what it is, heated space, 890 square feet, that's pretty close to 750.
Well, that's what I was hoping.
Yeah, because it should be subordinate to the home. Is that the terminology?
Right.
Accessory to the main dwelling.
Yeah. Right.
And when it's bigger than the main dwelling, that calls into question the viability of it.
He started off with a small dwelling in the first place, so it's kind of hard to make it smaller than that.
Right.
So, Boyd, how did you come up with a 340 square feet upstairs?
Well, by just... what I did is I took what would be a standing area... with that slope roof I just picked a number 6 feet, and that brings it in to, that loses about 4 feet of that.
So you'd have storage closet or something.
There'd be something in there, but it wouldn't be floor space.
Right.
Just as a, it's not 560 times 2, for 1120, but... It's not quite the 892 because you got a laundry area that is in one of those knee walls, and that's obviously heated space, and some closets. So, I mean, it's not 1120, but it's probably a little over 890.
Okay.
If you start to look at laundry areas and things like that.
As I said, I wasn't quite sure how to present it.
One of my questions is, how has this board dealt with like a stairway? It's an access way, but it's really, is it living space? Because obviously if you look at these drawings, you've got, stairway that's taking up a chunk of both floors.
But it's not included in the diagram. If you look at the 12 by 20...
On the second floor.
On the second floor, that's not involved in the floor space at all.
I understand that. But it does take up a section of the floor. On the first floor, too.
I see what you're saying,
right.
So again, I look at a stairway as that living space. Well, you can't live in it.
Right.
So, and these aren't architectural drawings. They're
exactly
sort of like what I would put together on my kitchen table,
I wanted to point that out. I'm not an architect. I'm just sort of, I'm trying to get things to a point where our architect can then... set up the usable space of the...
Yeah.
One of the concerns we have, obviously, is that the accessory dwelling becomes the dominant piece on the site because it's the I keep wanting to say in-law, and we don't use that term anymore, but the accessory dwelling unit is supposed to be subordinate to the main house, and it's an accessory as opposed to the main. You know, when you look at this, you know, your first response is, well, that's a lot bigger than the original house. So it's not really subordinate. So that's really where, I mean, I might be hung up on, okay? It's not a small addition. It's, we're starting brand new construction, bigger than the original house. So it's not really subordinate. When it gets a lot closer to 750 as opposed to 1120, it's a little easier to, you know, say, okay, we're not dealing with something that's bigger than the main house. I think it comes down to what's the size. And we're a little unsure as to what the real size is. They know it's not 1120, but it may not be, you know, 870 either.
Oh, yeah, well,
you can pick a number and set a limit on it, too. Mm-hmm. But, Mark, there's nothing in the ordinance.
I have a question, Bob. What's
yes, this? Go ahead, Tony.
I'm wondering about the septic design. Is it for a 3 or 4 bedroom house?
They will have. We've actually had some site work done for the septic, and that will be all replaced to accommodate what will be now a 5 bedroom. It'll be brand new.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so the original structure is 4 bedrooms, correct?
It's 4 bedroom, yes.
Yeah, okay. So you'll need a 1,500-gallon tank?
I believe that's probably the number, yes.
Okay. That's all I have.
Okay, I'm afraid I cut you off. Go ahead, Boyd.
No, I think Tony asked the same question.
Okay. All right, great.
Now, our building inspector will make that determination.
Yes.
We'll give you the building permit.
All right.
This was a garage?
It is currently a garage.
It is current wet room, okay.
Are you anticipating
building a garage too as part of this?
No, we're not. The garage is currently not used as a garage. It hasn't been used as a garage for many years. It's in, you know, pretty bad. It needs to be taken down anyway. Currently.
So what you're doing is taking it down completely?
We're going to take it down completely.
Well, chances are you'll end up replacing the slab too with a foundation.
There's a slab there now.
Obviously,
and
that's a building inspector's review. But
who we have looking at building the house is, or building the addition is, he's going to look at that and see if it's usable. It may be, it may not be, most likely not.
Is that going to be you, Dave? Are you the one that's going to do the work?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, all right.
Kevin,
yes?
Would you like to make some comments on like what you see and how you're viewing this?
Yeah, I mean, I initially measured out the square footage based on the plan that was submitted.
Mm-hmm.
And the question Lisa kind of mentioned to me if staircases were included in the square footage of the living space, and it is, but a knee wall would not. If there are some knee walls in the plan, or attic, unused attic space is not, and unfinished basement is not. So that's not, so any of that. So, but so, if there is, you know, if I missed something on the plan, there's a knee wall included in the square footage.
It's right here.
I got it right here.
Yeah. Then, but I don't know.
So what we have here is a roughly a 12 by 28. What is that?
That comes 3. I've got 336.
Yep.
20 by, so it's 20 by 16.
That's basically.
It's 4 minus 5, 1 times 8. It's 336, not 326.
Yeah, 336.
Yeah.
336.
I had figured, yeah, this
and 560, right?
I had figured a 6-inch ceiling height. Now there will be a shed dormer over where the stairway comes into the upstairs in order to accommodate the room. Again, you know, this is all stuff that I need. You know, what I'm trying to avoid, I guess, is spending a lot of money for an architect to draw up something that we're not going to be able to build.
So, you're changing the roof line here.
Only this little, only this little piece here in order to accommodate headroom. But the architect may look at that and say, well, you can't do that. You know, that's very possible. I don't know what we're gonna run into there.
It's a half a dormer.
It's a half a dormer, basically, yeah.
And the other side is just like a straight gate. So there'll be a knee wall on the side, but I didn't, you know, I probably may have not having the, this detail here, you know, going with that. But I don't know how much, what is it, 100 square feet, a knee wall, if that?
Well, I got the knee wall subtractions as 60 and...
Yeah.
And then another one is probably 4 by 6, maybe 24. So, but the rest of it is landings and laundry area and closets. So they're not unfinished attic space. So we're really only deducting, we're close to 100 off the 1120. So probably around 1020 if you count all those other spaces that are built into the eaves, I guess. What's the... I recognize the desire for the long, for the big family room, living room, and maybe the desire originally to live, to maybe reuse the slab from a cost point of view. But if it's a floating slab with no foundations or footings, likely it's not usable anyway.
But that's what I said.
Can we shorten the building a little bit in order to get knocked down this square footage?
Or the alternative would be to put the living room on the house and then have everything downstairs. Or is can you go back on that and have it one floor and have a bedroom downstairs? Have all that stuff that you have upstairs so that it's...
Originally, we looked at having it on one floor. I mean, that seems to be the thing that people my age are supposed to do. But it... Because of it, it's a farm. It has a working barn with four sheep and goat. And in order to go far enough to get 750 square feet on one floor, I'm starting to push into Amelia's barn area, which I don't want to do. So that's, you know, and I talked to the builder, and we talked about two floors versus one, and you know, there are some cost advantages to having a second floor.
Right. It's cheaper to go up than it is to go out.
And that's kind of where how we ended up really looking more into a second floor. Could I shorten it up? Of course, I could. I would like to get the 28 if I could, but if that's not possible. I just don't think that the 2 feet would, you know, it would certainly wouldn't impact the vision of it, the use of it.
No, but only the concept of being an accessory to the main dwelling, as Mark was pointing out earlier.
Yeah.
Because you know, basically it looks like a duplex. If you have both the houses are substantial enough and the... And I know when we were writing that law, the regulations, that the purpose that we talked about was to provide, as you say, you want space as parents to come and live with your children to be able to share your families. But it was intended to be an accessory, not the size of the... I mean, because these two buildings are pretty much the same size.
The original,
bring
that sheet with me. Which one? It's on the back page, on my copy.
Well, the original house is 27 by 32, plus the kitchen expansion is another 10 by...
19.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not...
You see our point is we're just questioning whether or not it makes sense to have this proposal be bigger than the main house, because that's not the intent of the ADU. And if you could find a way to reconfigure it to get, I dare use the word, closer to 750, you're just asking, I think we're asking a lot here in this scenario.
Okay.
So now we put it back on you. Is there some considerations you can make? Can you shrink it down? If you're not going to be able to use the slab, can you shrink it down? That further cuts your cost and then puts you in better stead when it comes to compliance.
Well, originally I had it at 20 by 26. That cuts to, 2 times 20, that cuts 40 feet off of, or 80 feet, I suppose, if you consider the upstairs. And that's, that's certainly doable. I'd rather have the 28, but... I'd rather have 26 than not any of it.
Well, the thing is, if you need time to think about ways that you can change this, we can continue rather than having you to have to come back and pay for another hearing. We can continue the hearing and allow you a time to look at it and see and come back with other
maybe one or two more options to say, I can cut it down to this. If this doesn't meet criteria, I can cut it down to this, but I don't want it. This is my first choice, my second choice, I don't know what. But you see our concern now. And if you can reconfigure your needs to say, in order to be closer to compliance or in compliance, we're going to have to do these things to stay within the spirit and the intent of an ADU, which is an accessory dwelling.
While you're at it, you can calculate the area under those knee walls to give us an exact number on that.
And, judging by your drawings, I think these are all things that are within the scope of your ability. You've got some decent drawings here in the fact that they're not professionally done. If you can continue on that vein saying, I'm going to sketch this thing out and see if we can knock this thing down. And you really have to consider whether or not that slab is going to be usable. I suspect it may not be.
More than... Using the slab was just a kind of an afterthought. It's more using that space because it fits well within the parking. We can easily gain parking for two more vehicles along that back side of it.
It fits everything but the spirit and the intent of ADU. And it would be in a real world. I mean, it would be nice to have, the best of everything, I guess. Is that the right or wrong assumption? I don't know. But I guess what we're telling you is it doesn't quite measure up to what you're asking for. It's going to be hard to fit in this mold. Now, in order to prove such a thing, we've got to go through these criteria. And if it doesn't make sense, you don't get it. And as Judith suggested, it might not be appropriate to do that now because it doesn't look good. And if you can reconfigure it, as I said before, you'd stand in better stead.
And then you don't have to notice it, and it doesn't cost you any more money. What I mean? Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. If we continue it to a time certain, we have to continue. So either next meeting or, if you need longer than a month, I think we could do it 2 months if you...
Well, like I said, we're homeless.
You want to do it as soon as you can. This way you don't have to... you don't have to pay to notice everybody.
Yeah.
And...
Okay.
It saves you, and then... the problem is that once we grant the variance, then... Then how do we say no to the next person?
I'm an ex planning board member. I know the routine.
All right.
We're
giving you an opportunity as opposed to shooting you down tonight.
Then maybe when you come, when you come and move into town, you'll be willing to come and sit on some of our boards and help us out.
Do we need to?
The only thing I'm uncertain is. I'm missing in my head some sort of target. I mean, I know 750 square feet. I can tell you right now, if it's 750 square feet, I can't do it. It's just not going to work. So I need some idea of, you know, how much...
We can't throw a number at you. We can't throw a number at you that says, hey, shoot for this.
The only number we can throw at you is 750. So you got to use your own judgment.
And then we've got to weigh it against the criteria.
I've got a question.
And for you to come back does not guarantee that we're going to grant this. You know the process.
3 by 20.
A question here. I mean, if this house was 3,500 square feet versus...
It'd be a different story.
Versus 2,000, roughly. Mm-hmm. Would we have a problem with this, the size of this?
Perhaps we would, in the sense that it's brand new construction.
And it's not an accessory.
And you have the ability to make it.
I'm just wondering.
It doesn't fit the definition. And I think that if someone thinks that that 750 is an incorrect number, then maybe that's what needs to be changed. But right now, this is what the town said they wanted for an accessory.
Unfortunately,
yes,
this is really designed for just what they used to call it, the mother-in-law apartment.
Yeah.
And it's very nice. 750 square feet is very doable for one person, but for two, suddenly you're tripping over each other.
And then the wants of a big family
room. My daughter's condo is 540 square feet. She's got a kitchen, living room, bathroom, bedroom.
Yeah.
And, you know,
at some point, an accessory dwelling unit is no longer an accessory dwelling, and it becomes a duplex, and that's...
Yeah.
That's right, Mark.
Yeah.
And then, and we can't throw that number at you, as Boyd said. We can throw you at you 750, because once we give you 8, then somebody wants 850, then it becomes 9, and the spirit and intent of an ADU is gone.
Just a thought, when you get to this slab and decide what you're doing... If it turns out that the slab really isn't all that valuable, it gives you a wonderful opportunity to pour a new slab and put heat in it with forced hot water heat. You know, there's nothing colder than a concrete slab, no matter how you insulate it. And that would be great.
Or put a full basement under it and keep some of your mechanical stuff down there. You know, make an unheated pantry down there.
Well, if you put a basement under it,
that's a living space.
Part of the square living space.
Right, it doesn't count.
It wouldn't be a living space.
Basement and still not be within the 750.
I mean, you've got plenty of quiet space down there.
Right. So
that's what I do.
So even if you heated it, it still wouldn't be called living space.
It's not a concrete floor.
Yeah, it's a basement.
So that's another thought.
That's what I do.
The basement.
And the upstairs area could be unfinished and be storage if it's not heated, right?
Sure.
I don't know if I'm intending it, but I don't know what the structure is yet. We'll have to review that. We have to wait.
All right. Are you in favor of continuing?
Yep.
Well, I guess we have two choices. We either continue or
we can vote
dispose of the matter today. No pressure.
Well, I don't have a lot of choice here. I'll go back and see what we can do to... Is there a percentage of the main house? I mean, is there... Let's say you've got a 4,000 square foot main house. Is there some percentage
that seems acceptable? It's 750 square feet.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right.
Are we continuing?
Well, I've got to continue. Okay. I have no choice. Got to keep going.
We just need to hear that from you for the record.
Yeah. Are we continuing to the next meeting next month, or did you want to go 60 days out?
Go 30 days, and if they need more time, they can push it back, because they're on a time crunch, according to them.
Yeah. Yeah. If you need more time, days. You need to contact me, and it has to be in writing. Amelia, you have my email anyways.
Yes.
We've been going back and forth. So if you guys need more than 30 days.
What's the date of the next meeting?
It's the 27th of April.
Well, we can certainly be ready.
Okay.
You guys will be here by the 27th.
And as they said, there'll be no extra costs or anything. I'll just continue it right onto the agenda.
Okay.
And just let me know beforehand.
So if it ends up that we just work with 750 square feet, then I don't need to come back.
Yeah, you do.
You do.
You still have to get the approval.
Yeah.
You have to get approval for, but if it's 750 square feet.
Surely it's a lot easier.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't go through like the building inspector.
That's correct.
Okay.
Because that's a special exemption.
That's what I had, that's what I was like to believe.
I'm sorry, wait a minute, why? Would Kevin still be involved is what he's asking if it's 750?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he's got to inspect everything and.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the thing is, I'm sure that if you came in and talked to him, that, I mean, he would be, he's.
It has to come before the ZBA because
it's
an accessory dwelling unit, so it's only approved by the ZBA.
Okay.
They have
okay.
to approve
okay.
the accessory dwelling unit.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and then you'll resubmit, well, submit an updated plan and everything, and then he can, you know, do costs and stuff.
Okay.
And
thank you very much.
And he'll submit those plans before the meeting, so we'll have a chance to eyeball them. Or we.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I think we all came in and looked at them before. I mean, I saw these. Mark was in the office when I was in the office, and we went over these plans before. Mm-hmm. So
okay.
we usually generally check everything out beforehand.
Okay. And you can send those by email too, if they're, if you can. Digitally, because I can print them off. Like you have the ledger size right there. A little bit bigger, 11 by 14.
Yeah, it's 11 by 17.
Yep.
That works.
Or
I can print those off if it's easier for you to email me.
Okay.
To the board, or you can bring in copies beforehand.
All right.
Okay. So I can have I'll have something to you shortly.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for your attention.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda, other business.
Okay.
Any other business
right,
before the board?
Did we have minutes that we have to approve?
That was the next thing on the agenda. And given the fact that I for one, haven't had a chance, been a couple of months since our last meeting, I'm not in a position to approve the minutes. And I'm requesting that we postpone approval till next meeting, unless there's any objection.
I don't object.
I do not object to that.
All right, then let's approve the those minutes of January next
okay.
meeting.
Okay.
Thank
so
you.
We'll have two sets next week.
That's correct.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for working with me on that.
Okay.
So
what
we
else?
Need to, did we make a motion to continue the hearing? I think we need to make a motion.
Yeah,
you're right. Go ahead, make that motion.
I'd like to make a motion that we continue this hearing until April 27th at 7 o'clock.
Very good. I second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries and continuation we have. If there's no other business, is there a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Seconded by?
Second.
By Ron. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion. Meeting adjourned.
Nice.
Thank you. We kept it